السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his companions, his entire household. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them all and to bless every single one of us and to grant us goodness. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we all would love concentration in salah. And sometimes we know that the concentration levels that we have in salah are not as they should be. Everyone would like to improve. So let's look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He speaks in the opening verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun about the successful person, the one who is a believer. The fact that the believers are the ones who are successful. Then he goes on to describe this success. And this success is that of this world as well as of the next. So it's only correct for us to spend a few moments going through the qualities he makes mention of and looking at what benefit we would derive by being good people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 1, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the believers have been successful. Or successful are those who have believed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are successful. May He make us from those who are truly believers in Him. Ameen.
الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ.
Those who concentrate in their prayer. So, those who are successful, one of the signs is they concentrate in their prayer. When they are plugged in with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing disturbs them. Everything is gone out. You know, they say the shoes are removed outside. Do you know why? Some of the people of late have been saying that that is the connection between you and the ground, the earth. So now that you've removed it completely, you've left the dunya and the material world outside, you've come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where it's you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He grant us strength. So Allah says,
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ.
Those who stay away from that which is futile and unnecessary. It doesn't achieve anything for you. It's neither good nor bad. Stay away from it. Amazing. We are taught to stay away from that which is bad and to engage in that which is good. But we don't realize there is a third category of things, neither good nor bad, but a waste of time. So if you are prepared to stay away from that which is a waste of time, then automatically you will have much more concentration in salah. MashaAllah, I can give you an example. We all have mobile phones. And I think we all know how to download some applications, inshallah. I see the older people are giving me the looks. Okay, you might have the old Nokia bricks, but don't worry, inshallah. Soon, you will be having a little smartphone. They call it smartphone. And this smartphone, all of us know that when you've downloaded unnecessary apps, what happens? You know, not all the phones are octa-core, as we have the latest in Samsung and so on. But some of them are still quad-core, and some of them are still a little bit far behind, and some of their systems are quite slow. So when you have too many apps that you are not using, it makes the phone sluggish. And you are prone to viruses, and when you turn on your phone, it takes 3-4 minutes before it actually comes on, whereas when you have a processor that is powerful, in a few seconds the phone is on, you press the button, and as you are pressing it, it actually goes. In fact, nowadays there are phones that recognize your eye. As you're moving down, it moves down. Allahu Akbar. It's a reality. So, we all know that when there is something unnecessary on the phone, or for example, your space in your storage drive, or your little disk that you have, the little chip that you have, is perhaps not enough for what you are downloading. You know, you have files that are huge, and you have a chip that subhanAllah only caters for, say, 8 gigabytes. That, today, is actually nothing. 8 gigabytes. You know, I would tell you, you'd rather swap that phone for something better. Because the reality is, you need a minimum of 64 gig if you really use your phone. And if you want, you can work a plan and get something even higher. Why am I saying all this? I am saying it because our systems are far more sophisticated. When you have apps in your mind and in your system that are not necessary, you will not be able to work quickly, you become sluggish. Concentration in salah is almost nil when you've got too many things in your head that are absolutely unnecessary. Your mind has this and that. Take it out. Just like your phone, you know, if you haven't used the app for 1 year, wallahi, delete it. You will do a favor, not only to yourself, but the speed of your processor by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the same applies to us. In fact, with human beings, it's a higher example. We are far more sophisticated than computers. If a person, for example, sits and watches movies whole day, when he comes and he says, Allahu Akbar, if it is a soap that he has been watching, he's worried about the fact that it might finish before his salah, so, and he might or she might not know what is going on, so the salah is darted through quick, quick. Why? Because my soap is there and I need to be washed. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This is what happens. So when we waste our time with things that are totally futile, that which is a waste of time, we lose concentration in salah. So this is why Allah says that believers are successful, those who concentrate in salah. You want that concentration in salah? Allah says the next thing, those who abstain from that which is futile, that which is unnecessary. So it's a category let's try and get to by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same applies to speech. You know, if you're a person who loves gossip, it's impossible for you to concentrate in salah properly. Impossible. Why? You love gossip. The two do not come together. No, they don't. So, because when you say Allahu Akbar, you're going to think of what you heard. You're going to think of that auntie there, and that lady there, and that man there, and this uncle here, and the story you heard, and you might even shake your head, and people are thinking you're enjoying the recitation, but they don't realize that in actual fact, your mind is somewhere else altogether. May Allah grant us goodness. This is why we say, cut out the gossip, cut out the backbiting, cut out the slander. Don't want to listen to that which does not concern you, and you will find yourself on a very, very high spiritual level. When you say Allahu Akbar, you are thinking of the words. Why? Because before the salah, your main concern was, how do I learn the words that I am saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do they mean? And therefore, your concentration is beautiful. So, in verse number 4, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. You are not going to be able, really, to keep yourself away from that which is futile until you cleanse yourself. Cleansing yourself in two ways. One is to work on your inner qualities, work on your heart, develop it. You know, we have certain qualities that overtake us sometimes. When a person has a temper, believe me, that temper is not going to go unless you work very, very hard on it. Let me tell you of myself. When I was much younger, I was quite a temperamental character, subhanAllah. But we worked so hard on it, so hard, that really when you're feeling upset, you control yourself at that moment. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Do not say something that will be a means of regret or a statement that will come back to you and haunt you. Keep quiet. Laugh it out at that particular moment and see what happens. You'll be able to think properly. You become a person who's very, very easy to get along with. Why? Because your temper is controlled. But my brothers and sisters, today we have tempers. We are not interested in controlling them. Because we are not working hard enough on them. And we start blurting and blowing things and we get really so excited that we create issues out of nothing. My brothers and sisters, if that's the case, we will not be able to cleanse ourselves, nor will we be able to concentrate in salah, nor will we be able to be from amongst those who are successful believers. So, let's work very hard to eradicate the bad habits. You have a temper, work hard, very, very hard to fight it, to combat it in a way that you can become a person after you had a temper, you now do not have a temper or it's very, very difficult to make you angry. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and may He make us the most humble of people. May He make us from those who can really fight our bad habits and qualities. Like I say, and I want to repeat it for the fourth time. Without working hard on your bad qualities, they're not going to go anywhere. They will grow. They will become worse. And you will become a person whom nobody gets along with. Why? You haven't worked hard enough on your own bad habits. So, it's about time we looked at these beautiful qualities of the successful believers and we told ourselves that, do people get along with me? How am I as a person? Why is it that people do not get along with me? Let me fight my bad habits. Let me apologize for what I've done that has been wrong over the years, for example. And from today on, by the will of Allah, I'm going to combat the weakness of my own nafs and the devil that is within. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So Allah says, those who cleanse themselves in two ways, like I said. One is to work on your bad habits. And two is to give out charity. Why give out charity? Because man by nature, clings towards wealth and materialism. You see something good, you've earned a lot of money. And you know, it's normal to feel the little inclination towards materialism. So Allah says, take that out. I come first. Allah comes before your wealth. So learn to give from that which you love most. That is the wealth that you have as well. So take it out and give. Be generous. Not only the zakat, but give much more than that. Take out charities which are between you and Allah, voluntary. It was not obligatory. Obligatory is given. But on top of that, I want to give even more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us generous people. This is how we will be able to stay away from that which is futile. And this is how we will be able to become people who can concentrate in salah, and then we become successful believers. Now, in order to cleanse yourself, there is something important. We spoke about the inner qualities, but there are other qualities as well. So Allah says, verse number 5, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those who control, those who protect their private parts. They make sure they do not use those private parts wrongly. They stay away from adultery and immorality. That's a straight and direct verse of Allah. If a person is not prepared to protect himself from that which is immoral, and if he or she does not regret when immorality is engaged in by himself or herself, then how does he expect to be cleansed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said it quite clearly, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ فَخِذَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever guarantees me the correct use of that which lies between the cheeks, which is the tongue, and that which lies between the thighs, which is the private parts, I guarantee him paradise. I guarantee him paradise. So what we could do, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make an effort to control your tongue and ensure that you only use your private parts where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May He grant us steadfastness and strength. Wherever a person has faltered, remember, turn to Allah very quickly, for Allah is indeed most forgiving, most merciful. This is why a person cannot be faithful unless they understand the trust that they have been entrusted with. Hence you find verse number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Those who look after their trusts that they have been entrusted with, and the covenants that they have declared, they look after it. You know, in marriage, you are entrusted with your spouse. Make sure you fulfill that trust. Do not abuse it. Normally they say, once trust is gone, it's over. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from those. Really, to rebuild trust after it is lost is not a joke. It requires a lot of effort, and sometimes it might result, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, in something negative. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us. Also, we have a covenant that we have taken with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have declared the shahada. We are part of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah. It's important for us to know that. And therefore, we fulfill all the obligations that are upon us and abstain from the prohibitions. Wherever we have faltered, like I've said, we need to turn back to Allah very quickly and ask Him for forgiveness, for indeed, He is most forgiving, most merciful. Then verse number 9, the most beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of the starting point of all this. You want to get cracking? Well, listen to this. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Those who protect their salawat. Salawat meaning the number of salah in the day. This is in plural. Unlike the first one, was talking of the quality of the prayer and the concentration. How can the concentration be achieved when you are not even bothered about the number of salah? A person doesn't read Fajr or Dhuhr, he only makes Asr, for example, because it's convenient, or Maghrib, or perhaps Isha. And thereafter, you know, when he only makes one Salah in the day, what type of concentration does he expect there? Nothing. Because you don't make any more Salawat. If you knew the value of it, you would make sure you don't miss a single Salah. Like we said, Salah is the key to the door of many, many points of goodness. But sadly, sometimes our doors are closed, the keys are lost. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. You find that key in salah. May Allah open the doors of goodness for us. So let's all promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, we fulfill our salah, come what may. Secondly, we understand the trust we have been entrusted with and the covenant unto Allah by obeying His commands, abstaining from prohibitions. Thirdly, protect your private parts. Fourthly, cleanse yourself, both inside and out. Make sure that you have given your wealth that is due, as well as something over and above that. And make sure you work very, very hard to eradicate your bad habits. Like we said, again, if you are not prepared to work extremely hard on your bad habits, do not think that they are going to go away. In fact, they will grow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And then we stay away from that which is futile. We try to get to that level where we know that what's bad we stay away from, what's good we engage in, but what is neither good nor bad, it's in the middle. There is a stage that a person would get to where that also irritates them because it's a waste of time. I'm depleting my resources. It's like someone telling you that, you know what, if you sell your goods to that man, you are going to make a 20% profit. And if you sell them to that man, you will make a 20% loss. And if you keep on rotating them here, you are neither going to make a profit nor a loss. You're only going to now rotate your stock. That's all. So a person sitting back, he will say, I'd rather earn the profit. I don't want to waste my time carting the stock from point A to point B when I'm not even going to cover my overheads. You know, in business, you need to make something at least so that you pay for your lights and water and rental and salaries and so on. But if that's not covered as well, you're wasting your time. So I'd rather say, you know what? Let all my workers be laid off for a little while because I'm neither going to make a profit nor a loss. Instead of buying and selling and make everybody work and so on and you're not even earning anything. This is a similar example to the deeds we engage in that are neither good nor bad. Just a waste of time. You're wasting your energy, you're wasting your time. You'd rather have done something in that time that was beneficial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and may He beautify us inside out. Ameen. So brothers and sisters, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the messengers and He makes mention of their names, the Prophet Noah, may peace be upon him, how he was sent and a few aspects of what had happened, and Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, and what happened. Then Allah says, ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا تَتْرَى. Then we sent messengers, one after the other. So many messengers we sent. Verse number 44 of Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah says, ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا تَتْرَى كُلَّمَا جَاءَ أُمَّةً رَسُولُهَا كَذَّبُوهُ. Every time a messenger got to the nation that he was supposed to get to, or the nation received the messenger of theirs, they belied him. So what did we do? You know, when they harass the messenger, when they disagree, when they belie, when they fight against the messenger, Allah says, فَأَتْبَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ بَعْضًا وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَحَادِيثِ. We just followed them one after the other. A nation came, a messenger came, they belied the messenger, they were destroyed, another nation grew. Another nation grew, a messenger came, they belied the messenger, they were destroyed, another nation grew. When the other nation came, and so on. So Allah says, one after the other, and we made them into history. They became stories that are being told in history. Therefore, today they got to us. So what's the lesson? The lesson is if we are going to belie the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or become hypocritical about how we are following him, Allah says, look, the ingredient is very clear. When you added this with that, you got a fire. Now you are adding the same ingredients. Don't be foolish to think you are not going to get a fire. Allahu Akbar. If someone were to say, put petrol and a little spark and you get an inferno. So today you come about with petrol and a little spark and you think we are 2,000 years down the line so it will not create a spark. You are being foolish. This is why Allah says, watch out. We sent messengers to those in the past. Look what happened to them because of their belying. So you do not belie. This is why Allah has opened the door for us known as the door of tawbah and repentance. Where we turn back to Allah before it is too late. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala releases. And he releases, when a person is astray, for example, the rope is actually released and released until they go and they continue going. And one day, it is snatched. So you either come back before the rope is snatched, or when it gets snatched, then it is too late. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. Exactly why verse number 99 and 100, Allah makes mention of regret. You know, regret is very good. If a person regrets his sin, wallahi, it's a beautiful sign. We said it in the past. A person who regrets his sin is a true believer. But when a person regrets at the point of death, it's too late. Allahu Akbar. You know, if before your journey, may Allah protect us all, we're going to speak of reality here. Before your journey, you get hooked onto the BBM perhaps, or you get hooked onto a little WhatsApp group that informs you where exactly the speed traps are. Wallahi, you're intelligent, because you might be clocking it at 240 like some of us, and then when it comes to the point where you know there's a speed trap, you're moving at 120. And now I found something out in this country, up to 129, they won't nab you, by the will of Allah. If they do, don't come back to me, inshallah. Up to 129, it's a leeway. So you can set your cruise at 128, and you'll be comfortably sailing straight through, waving at the cops as well. But what happens? If you have done this before your journey, you are intelligent, you take heed. But once you nab, then you get hit at 200, and now you're arrested and taken to court, and then you regret, and you tell the judge, you know what, I'm really, really sorry. It's too late. We understand it. You've got to pay your fine, you might be jailed, and you might have your license taken away. In some countries, they have the point system where you have so many points, no longer driving for so long. You're banned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We are so worried about the points on our licenses, to be honest with you, and the regret that is after the points come in is far more and far worse. And in fact, you can do really nothing about it than had you been regretting the way you've been driving before you were nabbed. This is why Allah says, and obviously this example is far higher. It's a real life example, and we cannot compare it with anything. The comparisons we've given you, only to bring it closer to our understanding. But Allah says, verse number 99, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, those oppressors who did not want to turn to us, when death overtakes them, then they will say, one of them will say, oh Allah, send us back. We have now seen, we regret, we want to go back. Ya Allah. Allah says, no way. There's no going back. There's no second trial. This examination was once. Like we say, you only live once. So live properly and remember to obey Allah's instruction. Because this life is the opportunity to build your life after death. You only have one chance to build your life after death. Remember this, you only have one opportunity to build your life after death. So you'd better build your mansion by obeying Allah's instruction and abstaining from His prohibition, rather than just risking it. And when you get there, then this is what happens. May Allah protect us, where we say we want to go back. Allah says, nay, it's just a statement that they are uttering. No, they would go back and do it again. This is why they say, those who have been nabbed for traffic fines, even if they paid 20,000, they still drive past. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. There is only one solution. Have a driver. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us goodness with us. The solution is follow the instruction of the messenger blindly, and inshallah you'll get to paradise. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, verse number 115 of Surah Al-Mu'minun. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think that we have created you without a purpose? For nothing. Just like that. Do you think that you were created just to come in and enjoy and do as you please? Allah says, do you think that? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think that you're not going to come back to us in order for us to take account of your deeds and so on? Allahu Akbar. You want peace? Just be conscious of the fact that Allah did not create you for nothing. And be conscious of the fact that you're going back to Allah and you're answerable to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So, quickly making mention of the issue of regret. If we regret whilst we're alive and we're healthy and we're well and we're okay, then alhamdulillah, it will help us. We can delete our points and everything can be gone. MashaAllah, we'll have such a good record and a reputation, we can become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we regret, once we see the angel of death, it is too late. And after that, may Allah protect us, we don't want to have the jail sentence. Brothers and sisters, I move on to Surah An-Nur. The surah named after lights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us some lights. Allahu Akbar. This surah, Allah has made mention of immorality. And the sin, the darkness that it comes with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of how serious a crime it is. We always say, be happy with what you have. Work towards what you have. But Allah says, when you accuse others of adultery or immorality, and you do not have four proper eyewitnesses, you just heard the word, so you spread it. Today, do you know what the latest is? We have systems on our mobile phones. Any rumor that is created from one corner of some little town can spread across the globe. And we are guilty of forwarding it. we just forward without even verifying, without thinking this is a dirty statement, this is actually accusing someone, this is actually this or that. We just forward it and we get enjoyment out of it, not realizing we will pay for it. And when we pay for it, the same person whom we might have been talking against might be so innocent that they will say, you know what, brother, I'm making dua for you. Allahu Akbar. And we don't realize we're actually paying through our health or wealth or whatever else, our children, whatever else it is, because we have caused harm to that friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah warns us. He says, never accuse people. Not at all. Worry about yourself. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ 80 جَلْدَةً وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Verse number 4, Surah An-Nur. Those who want to accuse the chaste from amongst the believing women, and they don't come up with 4 witnesses, 4 good eyewitnesses, then they need to be penalized by being lashed 80 lashes because of their statement of falsehood. And never ever accept their witness in anything after that. They are the ones who are sinners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. You know how serious a statement is when a person says, hey, those two are having an affair. That word, wallahi, it is included in this verse. And how many of us, our tongues and our systems are messed up with accusations of innocent people. We just see the two, perhaps we might have heard a phone call. A man or a woman might have blushed when he answered the phone. You say, they're having an affair. What affair? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May He open our doors. And may He grant us purity on our tongues. Don't accuse people. We say, and we normally believe, that it takes a dirty mind to think dirty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse our minds and our hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, look, sometimes people are living without peace in their lives because they go around accusing people. So they have no peace. Their children are not in order, their health is not in order, their wealth is not in order, and they are living really a suicidal life. Why? Listen to what Allah says. Verse number 23, same surah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Those who falsely accuse the innocent, the chaste, innocent, believing women of immorality, Allah says they are cursed in this world and the next. Imagine a curse. We are saying a statement, we are forwarding a WhatsApp message, not realizing I'm actually cursing myself. We are saying something which is a huge accusation. This is why Allah says, تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You think that these statements are light, yet they are very great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not like that you accuse people. You spoil the reputation of innocent people. Allahu Akbar. May Allah cleanse our tongues. This is why, my brothers and sisters, if you want peace, stay away from indulging in the lives of others. You will have a lot of peace. When you indulge in their lives, you automatically curse yourself. They don't need to curse you. Allah says, لُعِنُوا. Such people are automatically cursed. And who would want the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. People accused Aisha radiallahu anha, one of the most chaste of all women in existence, or who existed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 11, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah says, those who came about with the accusation, they are a group from amongst you. Don't think it's bad for you. It's actually good for you. Now this verse is given to those who have been accused. Those whose lives have been made a mess by others spreading accusations about them. Allah says, don't worry. You think it's bad for you, it's actually good for you. You get all the rewards of those people who are talking bad about you. That's what will definitely happen. So it's better for you. Perhaps your entry, and this is a lesson for us, mine and your entry into paradise, through our deeds, we don't know if we will manage. So Allah says, don't worry, you have the deeds of another 3,000 people who spoke ill about you. Their salah, their hajj, everything, that's what will take you to heaven. It's better for you. So let them say what they want. You know, and Allah knows. Allahu Akbar. The question is, let's make sure our deeds are not being given. But if anyone has spoken about us, this verse is a reassurance. Allah says, don't think it's bad for you, it's actually good. You will achieve a lot of cleansing. You will become closer to us. And you get the deeds of people. And when their deeds are depleted, your sins, all other sins, go to their record. Imagine how pure a person becomes. So Allah says, don't worry. My brothers and sisters, from amongst us, those who are being accused, we have good news. And those who are accusing, we have the worst news. Because we are cursed by Allah automatically through our own statement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify us and cleanse us. Then we have verse number 19. Today, when there is a story of gossip, everyone wants to spread it. We spread the tale with names. You know, this is what happened. That's what happened. This person had an affair with that one. This one is impregnated by someone. It's outside of wedlock. All that is none of your business, my brothers and sisters. You don't need to spread that. Because that is spreading immorality. You are dropping society's level of morality. By making everyone think, well, you know what? Everybody's doing it, so we're just a part of it. We're just a part of it. So we start belittling the sin. And this is why sometimes you have newspapers and sometimes you have the media houses that are guilty of promoting crime because they tell the world how the crime was committed. So an innocent person sitting there says, hey, that was quite easy. Imagine he went into the bank and this is what he did. Let me try that with FNB here. You better watch out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. This is why we say, do not spread details of crime. Do not spread details of immorality. If you do that, Allah warns us and says, you won't have peace. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Verse number 19.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Those who love to spread immorality amongst believers and to spread the tales and the details of immorality amongst the believing men and women, for them shall be a severe punishment in this world and the next. For indeed Allah knows and they do not know. You do not know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and may He grant us protection really from our tongues. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue with beautiful verses that affect us in our lives until we meet again. Inshallah, we say wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdih. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.